Welcome to the Perry Johnson Registrar's Food Safety Inc. podcast, where you can expect the latest news and discussions relevant to both the food safety industry as well as cannabis and hemp. Today's episode is a previously recorded webinar. If you would like to tune in to our upcoming webinars, visit our website at www.pjrfsi.com/webinars or give us a follow on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for tuning in.
Good morning, everybody, or good afternoon, depending on what time zone you're joining us from, and welcome to today's webinar, Preparing for Organic Certification and SOE. My name is Amy. I'm a member of the marketing team at the Perry Johnson Companies, and I'll be helping to facilitate today's webinar and offer technical support to our speaker. Today, we're welcoming PJFSI's own Organic Program Manager, Rachel Winter, to the presentation, and I'll be introducing her to you in just a moment. But without further ado, I want to really quickly introduce Rachel Winter to you all. Rachel's now been with PJFSI for about a year. She started her career in product development and quality management, and she has a degree in food science and technology from The Ohio State University. So Rachel, welcome, and thank you so much for taking the time to present for us today.
Yeah, thank you so much, Amy. Without further ado, we will just get straight into it with all this great information related to organic. All right, so today we are going to be talking about just the general information regarding organic certification, and then really breaking out what SOE is when it's enforced, and just a little bit more about the details related to that. For some reason, Amy, my arrows quit working.
Are you clicked into the slide window, Rachel?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
It must just be, for some reason, a delayed reaction. There we go. Okay, great. So I just wanted to walk through the process with you guys. If you're new to organic, or just a refresher for just organic certification process. So you guys initially send in an application after determining if you guys are ready to adapt the organic certification process. And that will go into detail in the coming SOE if you guys need to be certified. But so anyway, you guys submit an application to us, and we submit a quote to you guys. And afterwards, we go through the process of sending you an entire list of documentation called your organic system plan, which is an agreement between us as your certifying agent or certification body, and you guys to say, hey, you guys are going to be in compliance with organic regulation. And once we receive all this list of documentation, we send it to our organic reviewer who reviews just to make sure everything, hey, you guys are good to go, you have everything in line in place for the inspector to come out and do an on-site inspection. And these inspections truly are just a double checker to, hey, make sure everything's looking good and what was said in your organic system plan is actually happening. And then after your organic inspection, your organic inspector will write a report, and then we'll have a final reviewer reviewing everything you've sent in from your application to all that documentation and the inspector's report. And once that happens, then we can initiate your organic certificate if you are in compliance. Throughout the process, there is potential for non-compliances that you guys can work through and fix and move on with the certification process. So that is the full process. It's quite lengthy. Sometimes it can generally be 3 to 6 months when you're first starting out, just because it's quite a bit of documentation and process. But once we get through that, then it's really great and easy recertification process. So I hope that gives you guys a general idea of what organic certification process. Again, it's your application, your initial view, your inspection, and your final review. So it's not just a straight, hey, I'm applying for an inspection, let's get this process started. It's a little bit more lengthy of a process. So I wanted to share with you guys, if you are looking to get organic certified in processing crop, I provided a checklist here of just documents to start collecting, because the The biggest thing in organic certification that generally slows a client down is collecting all this documentation. So it's quite a long list. So just going over it quickly. Obviously, we need organic labels for processing clients, organic certificates, and you will get these from whoever you're purchasing product from, as well as your organic product addendum that specifies what product you are using, broker certificates if applicable, organic specifications for your ingredients. And we need this because we need to make sure that whatever your organic, the ingredient statement, that we're matching that up with what is specified in your label. SDS sheets for your ingredients, and that is depending on if it's allowed or not allowed ingredient. So just referring to that. Your lock code procedure, that's really important because there's some information that will get related to the SOE that specifies what is now required. Pest control information, pest control documents that share what you're using, so then we can share if it's allowed or not allowed, as well as chemicals. We review what is allowed and not allowed as well. And as sanitation standard operating procedures, this just shows like, hey, how are you guys doing this? It can be related to what chemicals you're using or the procedures that are allowed or not allowed. A business license to say, hey, you are a business. We are able to move along with this. Water documentation. Sometimes clients add materials that are allowed or not allowed. So it's helpful to get information about, hey, what water are you using? Is it from the city or are you processing the water, softening the water at facility? Facility map and flow diagram that gives us just an idea of how your guys are laying out your organic process. And just standard operating procedures that you guys might have. How are you guys mixing or processing the ingredients that way? And then if you are using a private label agreement, we need to see that as well, because there's just additional regulations. So I hope this checklist for processing can be useful for you. It's a lot of information, a lot of documentation, but that can definitely get you on the right track for how to get certified most effectively and get you guys on the right track. And then for crop, we are looking for SDS, technical data sheets, and labels for pesticides, fertilizers, post-harvest treatments, cleaners, and soaps. And this is the same thing with processing. We need to make sure that those are approved or not approved. We need your crop tags. We need to have proof of purchase if anything is put in the land prior to organic certification. We need your organic certificates for your seeds and possibly your brokers as well. This is just like an ingredient for your farm. Again, SOPs and SSOPs, just to see how you guys are potentially cleaning your dump truck or just whatever kind of equipment that you guys are using. And SOPs, hey, how are we planting this seed in the ground? What are our steps if applicable? And then farm layout, same thing as your map. You just want to get an idea. There's some important information related to crop, such as your buffer layer. So we need to get an idea of that. Your land affidavit, I'm sure if you are looking to be certified in crop, you are familiar with the 3-year transition period. So that is a very important document to make sure that, hey, this is not been treated with approved or unapproved products prior to that 3-year information. And then as well, we need information for your pest services. We need to see what are they using? What are they spraying if applicable? And then any other contract you're working with somebody who's spraying fertilizer, or just any contractor in general. Because all our contractors need to make sure that we're using organic standards when we're using that service. And then the most important thing with crop is a lot of the times you're not used to having to keep record keeping systems, but organic in general, it's so important and crucial to develop a great record keeping system for certification. So I hope that gives you guys a great idea and understanding of what documents you need to collect for processing and crop, and just what really are the next steps for organic and how to become organic certified. I will move on to the real meaty information of the SOE. About what is the SOE? Why the SOE? So the SOE is Standardizing Organic Integrity. SOE is the largest update since 1990, since the regulation passed, which is huge. It's about 186 pages of documentation changed to the regulation. So this is a real big deal for the organic industry, and it's really trying to prevent we're really trying to create more of an organic integrity structure with this system of updating organic control systems, improving farm to market traceability, and providing robust enforcement to the USDA organic regulations. So when was this running when was the final running of the SOE? It happened in January of 2023, and then it's going to be implemented in March 19th of 2024. So March 19th, 2024 is the real date that we have to start really looking at in this new enforcement program. So who does the SOE affect? So the USDA NOP has really created a nice just fact sheet here that provided just a quick summary of what all is changing in the regulation. And who the SOE is affecting is so us as certifying agents, BJR, FSI, organic inspectors, producers, processors, brokers, traders, exporters, and importers who are not certified organic. So it really is a robust group of people that the SOE affects. So it's really important to understand, hey, what are these new regulations? So just a breakdown of what we're going to cover in the SOE and updates. It includes organic import certificates, brokers, non-retail labels, organic certificates, operations that must be inspected at least once in the calendar year, producer groups, and improving record keeping systems. So, what does it mean to handle anything that has the physical contact with agricultural products, such as combining, aggregating, cooling, treating, packaging, conditioning, etc.? And this definition of handling has been updated, and I just feel like it's really important to recognize, hey, if I need to be organic certified, these are the steps in handling that are defined to be certified. So all these examples, you have to become organic certified if you're handling organic products. So an example would be a grain elevator or central bakeries that are now needing to be organic certified based on this updated handling definition. So really go back and look at, hey, what am I doing here? Am I treating? Or am I aggregating? So these are new definitions for handling and what organic certification is required. So this is a real big new thing for certification bodies and just organic certified companies in general. So it used to be that import certificates used to just have to be whoever had a alliance agreement with the NOP, such as Canada, Mexico, Europe, UK. There's a full list, but you just had used to have to have an import certificate for those countries that were importing into the US. But now it's everybody in the entire world that has anyone who's bringing in product and bringing it into the US now has to have an import certificate. So the import certificate must be presented at the US Customs border through the CBP and the Automated Commercial Environment, the ACE, electronically. So this is just the kind of a general process at the border, and then it gets entered into the ACE electronically. So what is on a certificate? It includes the origin, the destination, the certifying agent issuing certificate, tariff code, total weight, organic standard that is certified to. And currently the only import certificate used, again, is the equivalency determination, but now it's going to the entire world. So the purpose is really to document the organic status and quantity of import product as they travel from exporter into the US. We've had a lot of, unfortunately, just in general fraud that comes about throughout the world. So they're really trying to just crack down on this and create a better process and just prevent that fraud. So this is just a little bit of how it's going to work. So the import certificates are generated by the certifying agency, which is us, Perry Johnson, in registrars, in the Organic Integrity Database. And this, remember, this will be in effect in 2024. So the exporting company yourself is responsible to maintain organic standards throughout the transportation. They need to contact your certifying agency, ourselves, Perry Johnson, and then you also provide the information needed, which we've reviewed in the previous page, which is the origin, destination, etc., which we as a certifying agent will enter in the Organic Integrity Database. And then once that goes through, a 10-digit code is generated in the Organic Integrity Database. Certification will be given to the exporter. The certificate can be canceled or voided at any time. The exporter is responsible for providing the import certificate to the client that they're selling the product to. So for example, anybody in Germany, who actually Germany is not the best example, but anybody from Africa that are selling into the US, that whoever is certifying that product must provide that certificate from their certification agency and provide that to whoever they're purchasing the product in the United States. So that is very important to recognize that is your guys' responsibility. The importer provides a certificate to the specific entity responsible for enter import and certificate into the ACA system, so that whoever is purchasing the product in the United States needs to send the product to the ACE system, which at the port will be used to make sure that, hey, this import certificate is applicable and there is an organic certificate. And ourselves, PGR, FSI, or the certifying agencies do not have access to the ACE system, just for your guys' reference. So moving on to labels. So there's not too much of an update regarding labels, but specifically non-retail labels must have a traceability to an audit trail document, such as a lot code, shipping information, and unique identifier for shipment. So a lot of the times you have your lot number as the date of 05/23/2023. And you might have two products produced that day. So it's really important to have maybe 05/23/2023 ABC and then a lot code of 05/23/2023 BCD. So you have a specific identifier to really be able to trace down that specific lot code that you're producing. That is just a little bit of an update because it used to just be a lot code. And then you have to label as 100% organic and made with organic on non-retail labels as well. So this is new. And master casing pallets are not required to ID organic status if the USDA seal organic status is visible. So keeping that in mind as well. On-site inspections, again, nothing's changed too much. But now you are required to make sure that you have an on-site inspection annually. It can't be a year and a half. It has to be annually now. And just a little reminder, if you guys are new to organic, unannounced inspections can occur. So just a little of a reminder. And they're really cracking down to make sure, hey, we need to make sure we're doing mass balance exercises, verifying traceability of products and ingredients, and verifying traceability of product in an organic supply chain back to the last certified production. So these exercises of mass balance and traceability are required at an on-site inspection. And organic is still in an on-site inspection process. It's not ever going to be a virtual process as of right now. Supply chain and fraud. So this is somewhat new, just continuing over from that inspection process. So traceability, it is a certified operation such as yourself to have information regarding traceability for your operation back to your suppliers and moving forward to the customer. So keeping track of lot codes, via bill of lading, shipping documentation, receipts, etc. And there's just a small list below of examples of that. And then also something that is new is fraud protection plan, which is in your organic system plan. And it is now also the certified operations, potentially such as yourself, to have some form of fraud protection plan, which can vary depending on the complexity of your guys' system. So that will be an update to your organic system plan coming in the future. And I just wanted to mention before the questions that there is, you can just Google strengthening organic enforcement and they're listed as a final review, the fact sheet, the press release, and quite a bit of information explaining, hey, what is this rule? What do we need to do? But I covered quite a bit of the information today of, hey, what is actually going to be affecting us as a certified operation or upcoming certifying operation. So I hope this really helps in your prepping for the new SOE and potentially just in general prepping to become organic certified. Are there any questions?
We do have a question here that I saw come through from Julia. Julia is wondering if you could advise to the SOE requirements for conveyance labeling.
Or conveyanced?
Conveyance labeling.
Conveyance. I have not heard of conveyance labeling before.
Yeah, Julia, if you could clarify your question, if there was more specific information you were looking for. Oh, she's clarified here, containers other than retail packaging for labeling.
Oh, okay. Yep. So that is definitely that wholesale, that not sending it to the retailer process. So that is when you need to make sure that you're specifying, hey, you need to say organic 100% or made with organic, what you're actually certifying to. And then also making sure you have that lot code identifier present on that specific product.
Great, thanks. Yeah, Julia, if that didn't fully answer your question, please do feel free to send a follow-up.
Yes,
We've got
please.
a question here, not specific to SOE, but in general.
Yeah.
A question regarding is it possible to become certified organic if our entire operation is not organic? Can we certify part of our operation and not the entire thing?
Yes, that is a great question. Of course, definitely. There's something specified in your organic system plan that you can have a split operation. So you'll want to still keep in keeping your records and whatnot of specified, hey, what are we using in this area and what we're not using in this area if it's not certified organic. But yes, we can definitely do that. And you actually don't even have to have a split operation. You just have to maintain your organic practices and cleaning perimeters if you end up using the same equipment. So you don't even have to have a split operation.
Great, thanks for that answer. We've got a question here from Diane. Diane's wondering, how do I prove organic seed origination when I'm using seeds from my previous organic season?
So whoever you purchase that seed from, you can reach out to and ask for your organic certificate if you do already know it's an organic product. They can provide you that certificate as well as the product addendum. And
All
there's
right.
also another resource, sorry, Amy, that
Go
you
for
can
it.
go and double check to make sure. It's called the Organic Integrity Database. And you can go look for to see if that originated company is certified organic. So there's quite a bit of resource out there.
All right, thank you for that. Diane, if you had any other follow-up questions, excuse me, please feel free to send those in. If anyone had any other questions, maybe specific to being certified with PGFSI, feel free to add those in as well. Otherwise, was there anything else you wanted to share as far as words of wisdom, Rachel?
Just keeping your records. How important it is to keep your records? And hey, just look at that checklist. Get the it's just start collecting documentation, and we can really work towards that organic certificate at a more efficient
Absolutely.
pace.
Yeah, the documentation might be a chore, it might be tedious, but it's the most important part for sure. All right, if that was all the questions from our audience today, I'm going to go ahead and wrap things up this morning. If you have any other questions that maybe you think of later or they're a little bit too personalized to your specific situation to share publicly, feel free to reach out to the contact info on the screen here. And if we can't answer your question, we can certainly find someone who can answer your question. So thank you again, Rachel, for taking the time to present today, and I hope this was helpful to everyone involved.
Yep. Thank you, everybody.
All right, we'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.